show investors the money.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
SEC Chairman Christopher Cox says the organization he runs has been too slow in returning money to victims of corporate malfeasance. Cox says the process for returning corporate fines it collects to investors is needlessly complex. A government report earlier this year found of the billions of dollars in fines the SEC has collected in recent years, only about 1% has gotten back to investors. A handful of states are looking into alleged price discrepancies at the world's largest retailer. Marketplace's Amy Scott has more about this latest wrinkle for Walmart.
Seems Walmart's always low prices are sometimes even lower than intended. Two university studies found that nearly 9 out of 10 stores in California, Illinois, Indiana, and Michigan made more mistakes at checkout than government standards allow. The stores mostly undercharged customers, but the average dollar value of the errors worked out in Walmart's favor. Consumer advocate Linda Goldner says it's just one more thing for holiday shoppers to worry about.
This is the time of year when everyone's in a rush, and consumers should not have to check and recheck prices when at the cash register.
The United Food and Commercial Workers paid for the studies. A Walmart spokeswoman called them a desperate attack by the union and questioned the researchers' methods. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
It's the classic problem. You have a hit product. How do you make money off of it? America Online has struggled with that question. Its instant messaging service is its most popular feature, and it's hoping to make some money off of its new instant messaging service, which launches today. The new product includes features that will let users IM movie times and product prices. AOL will route those customers to its shopping and movie ticket websites, hoping to drive up traffic and sell more ads. Filling ad space is on ABC's mind as an old staple ends his era there tonight. It's Ted Koppel's last night on the job, and Ashley Milntite says the network's hoping a new format will do it good.
In 2004, NBC raked in $386 million in ad revenue with its talk show-dominated late-night lineup. In contrast, ABC brought in around half that. Abby Clausen writes about media for Advertising Age magazine. She says advertisers will welcome Nightline's switch to a new format.
When Ted Koppel, when he announced his retirement, we talked to a bunch of buying agencies, and they pretty much collectively said, Nightline's time has come. It needs something to refresh it, bring in a younger viewer. It needs to be more entertainment-focused.
ABC has listened to ad industry feedback, she says, and is betting the new show will be a more fitting rival for Leno and Letterman. Still, she says ABC needs to keep Nightline classy to attract those high-earning viewers who'd otherwise be reading a book. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Google is giving $3 million to a Library of Congress project to put works relating to the cultures of other countries online. Sounds kind of familiar. You've probably heard the search engine giant is championing its own such project, which has been the subject of considerable controversy and two lawsuits. On Wall Street, the Dow rallied and closed at its highest rate since March, up 53 points to 10,820. And this is Marketplace. And now another thing about hospitals that are bad for your health. From the health desk at WGBH, Helen Palmer has details.
Hospitals have grown steadily noisier in the last 50 years, says Johns Hopkins acoustic researcher Eileen Bush-Vishniak. It's the top complaint of staff, who say they often can't hear instructions, which can lead to mistakes. And research suggests excessive noise harms patients.
Noise can affect the speed with which wounds heal. It certainly affects the ability of people to sleep and the quality of that sleep.
In response, Bush-Vishniak devised relatively low-cost solutions. One replaced overhead loudspeakers in the children's intensive care ward with individual visual pagers that staff wore round their necks. And special antibacterial acoustic ceiling tiles were installed. Now administrators at Johns Hopkins want to implement these measures hospital-wide. In Boston, I'm Helen Palmer for Marketplace.
And you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Fannie Mae, working with our partners to increase homeownership and affordable rental housing opportunities for more Americans. Fannie Mae, fanniemae.com. And by Toyota, designing vehicles with hybrid synergy drive for fuel efficiency and low emissions. More at toyota.com. Toyota, moving forward. Market data and news brought to you by Reuters. Reporting from around the world, every day, every hour, every second. Reuters helps you stay in the know now.
This is Marketplace. I'm Lisa Napoli. For years, unions have been trying to organize tech workers at IBM and Microsoft. They haven't had much luck. Now, an international union is trying to unionize call center operators. Today, there's a conference in Greece to talk about the idea, but Miranda Kennedy explains why IT workers from Call Center Central, India, won't be attending.
At the spacious call center at RT Outsourcing, motivational posters urge workers to keep their cool while also exhorting them to take 20 calls an hour. It's buzzing with young, well-dressed operators talking into headsets in their cubicles.
Thanks for holding, sir. Your new part has been made for you.
They're giving customers basic tech help on products like Hewlett-Packard printers. And as far as they're concerned, that makes them knowledge professionals. Telemarketers and data entry clerks are often dismissed as cyber coolies who do drudge work for U.S. companies. But here, it's an exciting career that launches young people into India's respected professional elite.
It's not a very monotonous job that generally people feel. I've been taking calls from the last 3 years. So it's a new call. Every customer who calls here, it's a different call or a different requirement that he needs.
24-year-old Rina Diani says she took this job because it pays well, $3,000 a year. In India, where the average income is $500 a year, her salary stretches far enough to allow for plenty of Saturday nights out at American-style restaurants like TGIF. Rina says the atmosphere at work is open and comfortable, too, so she can't imagine needing a union.
If we have any problems, we can go to our supervisors or manager all the time. There is no barrier in the sense. You know, we don't need a particular forum or, you know, a particular meeting to, you know, express our problems.
But Manoj Sikia, a call center worker who's spending his day off today in one of New Delhi's flashy new malls, says it's hard to deal with abusive American callers on the graveyard shift.
Working in a night shift is very stressful. For 21 years, I'm sleeping in the night and working or doing my things in the day, and you're fully changing your biological cycle. It's really difficult on your health.
The call center industry's biggest problem is its attrition rate, at least 40%. But the head of RT Outsourcing, Sanjeev Kakkar, says Indians leave because they have options.
I mean, it's a sign that there's so many opportunities today. They don't have to stick to the same place.
Kakkar jokes that if anyone should be unionized in the call center industry, it's management. He says they bend over backwards with incentives and benefits to keep their employees from leaving. In New Delhi, I'm Miranda Kennedy for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
How the heck do the guys at Google...
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.